It's rock and roll.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Heels and Quads podcast. I'm Levi, always joined by Sir Thomas, Sir Tommy, Sir Thomas, Sir Thomas Wolta.
Dude, it's been a couple of weeks since we've recorded a podcast. Thank God it had shit in the can to release, which we're almost caught up now.
Yeah.
We gotta get back to it.
Yep. Speaking of shit in a can, this is gonna come out like a month later, right?
Yeah, Patreon will get it tonight and then YouTube.
Yeah. So what's up, Patreon? Thanks for being a part of Patreon. Speaking of shit in a can, my pipes are fixed, by the way.
Oh yeah, man.
So I've been flushing all kinds of stuff down the toilet.
Is that like for real now, or in a month they'll be fixed?
Oh no, it's current. Yes.
Okay.
But if it wasn't fixed right now, it would in a month post. No, it's fixed. I mean, it's fixed. They are. I am actively using. I'm taking long showers. I'm flushing.
Text me if you're lying.
Okay.
Text me if you're lying, and it'll actually be fixed in a month.
I'm confused now. No, my pipes.
Dude, I have no idea what's going on. Because you asked me, you're like, so this comes out in a month?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm not. My pipes are fixed. So
I just screwed.
I don't know.
I just screwed up the intro and said wrestling. So I doubt that I'm in any sort of state to think that far ahead to where, like, in a month my pipes will be fixed. No, my pipes are fixed. I'm flushing the toilet actively, all kinds of stuff I'm putting down the toilet just because it goes down the pipe now. And I'm showering long again a lot.
So you laid the pipe?
Well, I'm always laying pipe. But but I did. No,
wait,
I dug
for
it.
Mariah to say in the background, no, he's not.
No, he's not. I laid the pipes and we found the tap that they had put in, the little shitter valve you got to hook up to. And I cracked that off where she got all the pipes and everything. And I hooked all the pipes up. Well, then it didn't fit. So I had these two open ends like this, and I had to cut this piece to fit. So I doped it up on both ends. I stuffed it in and I stuffed it in there and it didn't fit. And then finally, like, it was it was this whole process of like lifting up and pushing down, and it was a mess. And then my mom came to visit. She was here. And then the city was like, oh, you can let that, you know, just let, because I had it propped up with a pickaxe. And I was like, I'm letting it dry. Well, it stayed like that all week because my mom was here. And she uses the restroom enough for a couple people.
She goes a lot. Okay.
She goes a lot. Yeah. And shout out to mom. Love you to death.
Shout out.
But I wasn't, I just wasn't going out there and dealing with that. So I left it. And anyways, the city came, it was like last Thursday or Friday or something. I got home and they were out there. And I saw they took my portion of the pipe out and was hauling it off, and they put a new pipe in and hooked it up. So, hey, they took the part that I finished out because he stepped on it and it broke. I left that part of the story. I butchered the whole fucking story, dude. It's all you still don't even know if they're actually fixed. So
I'm at a loss for words, man.
Clearly, the long story short, I'm pissing and shitting and flushing all kinds of stuff down the toilet. It's fun.
You just see something like laying around and you're like, I'm flushing.
I'm going to flush it down that fucking toilet. Yeah.
Fuck these pipes.
And now I know the exact path it takes. It goes, whoosh, and it goes, whoop, and it shoots right down that little hole. It's like somebody on there's a little turd on the toilet paper. It's like a raft going down.
So, okay. Hang on. That's a lot to process for me, because this has been an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So you fixed it. Some dude stepped on it, broke it.
No. Okay. See, there's where my story gets funny. All right. I fixed it.
The whole story's fucked up, man.
Yeah. The whole story is really fucked up. And it's been like 6 months. No, I laid all the pipe from the back of my house, all around the house. And then I got to the last, like what they called 20 feet. I wouldn't know fucking 20 feet. That was about 10, 12 feet at best. He's like, we gave you 20 feet. I'm like, this fucking 10-foot pipe's longer than that 10, that 20 feet you gave me. So something's not, this is work math. Ooh, yeah. Oh, should I let my city go?
Yeah, it's all right.
That I live in, whatever. Just edit, just bleep it out or something.
I can cut it out.
That's fucking Arkansas math right there.
This is also somebody who probably walks around saying he has a 10-inch cock, so.
Yeah. If that's fucking 20 feet, then I got a fucking 14-inch dick, because that's fucking, that was 10 feet, dude.
Honking boat and, horns and shit out of here.
Yeah, so anyways, in it, the way it went, I had to dig it at an angle, otherwise it was gonna be all fucked up, so coming from the side of the house, it goes like this, and then I had to dig it at an angle like that, and then re-straighten it out to go to that pipe that they put in. So, anyways, I hooked all that up. I rigged it. I Ozark engineered it to the best of my ability. And my mom came, and like I told the city, I said, I haven't checked to see if that's stable yet. And I kind of knew it wasn't, because I had just barely got it jammed in there. I glued the shit out of it and left it. And I was like, I'm not touching until she's gone. Well, when she left, they came and checked it out, and I guess he had just tested it, and he like stepped on it and just fucking opened right up. So I had it basically just set up to where everything would just flow through the pipe.
So you had it set up to where she could shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Until she left.
Yeah. I mean, I can pretty much, me and her considered it just done. We were like, I'm fucking done. We've been dealing with this for months, and I was just going to bury it and assume it would probably stay together. But that was my main worry, is I'm going to throw that dirt on it, and that's just going to break open and start leaking out again. So they put a whole new pipe in. They got it all hooked up. Good for them. Meanwhile, not to cut you off, 3 weeks ago, I called them to tell them I was... Well, this is vital to the story. 3 weeks ago, I called them to tell them I was done. I had, because the original deal was, we get 20 feet of pipe. They're fucking white. The white man's 20 feet. And they gave me the 20 feet of pipe. That's not 20 feet. And said, when you get to that, just let us know, you know, because we give you that pipe or whatever. I didn't understand. But then I called them and I can't get through it, and nobody called me back. So a week goes by. Okay, well, I'm done. I'm tired of sucking up shit water. And I kind of left it, because I was like, I don't give a fuck. It's their problem. And then it got stinky, so I had to vacuum it all out. And then we fixed it. And then, so 3 weeks it took them to just do it.
But actually, it was like 7 months.
Because this
has been going on since almost the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it was like March when we first found the leak.
My kids were in the last grade
when this was going on. Well, yeah, and I placed kind of blame on myself too, because I'm like, I should have had it done. But dude, July, I was not going out there digging.
Well,
I was
not digging that, in July. But you were like, digging. I'm not paying for this shit.
Mm-mm.
So no, how did that all go down? That was my main question.
How, I haven't gave the city, other than our water bill, we haven't given them a fucking dime.
I mean, who paid for the supplies?
Us, or Mariah. Came out of Mariah's bank account, and I need to pay her back. But
I thought what's his face was gonna pay you.
Nah, motherfucker just kind of ignored it, and I sent him a formal message and video, and he just kind of messaged me back in a very disregarding way of like, oh, I don't think that's what's going on, but I'll double check. And then I never heard back. So that part is kind of still up in the air. I guess I should probably reach out and be like, hey,
I want this guy's name, number, and email address.
Okay.
Because yeah. I want to handle it at this point.
Okay.
I think he's trying to fuck you, because he thinks some young little punk.
Yeah, he's trying to big league me. Yeah.
He is. Like, listen here, daddy.
Because everybody's
take
pretty much
my
everybody
wang out, put it on the table
and show it to him, be like, yeah, now that's fucking 20 feet.
That's a fucking vein right there, buddy.
So it's been between the city and that dude, which I just like him out of the picture a long time ago. I just stopped talking to him. I almost knocked him out one day when he called me, told me I was lying. But, and I'm not trying to sound like a badass here, but it's like old dude. If I would have hit him, it could have fucking killed him, because he's old. Like, he's old.
He would have just disintegrated.
Like, yeah, crumbled. Like, he probably would have seized up and fucking died, and then I'd be doing life in prison. But, you know. Don't fucking call me a liar, dude.
Hey, man, I don't care how old you are. Don't call me a fucking liar.
And then, like, it was funny because he didn't want to, like, because Mariah was about to lay, she was laying into him. And then he was like, well, hold on, let's get Cocksucker, the contractor over here, real quick. We'll have Cocksucker join in on it. And Cocksucker shows up.
Cocksucker to join the conference call, please.
Yeah. And then Dick Blower fucking gets all mouthy with me.
There's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. Hey, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Look at my little rainbow koozie I got. That's nice. I couldn't find the B-dubs.
You drinking those street waters or whatever it's called?
Spindrift. Yeah, I got a lemon one in here right now. Street I love them. Water. I bought a variety pack. Street water.
Hot dog street hot dog water.
I'll probably retell the story maybe again because, well, no, I mean, this will be out in a month, whatever. Nobody cares. So the time the public is listening to this, it's been fixed for a little over a month.
Yeah.
And the time the Patreon's listening to it, like, about 2 weeks it's been fixed. So,
and I knew nothing about it because I've texted you and it's been radio silence on your end, but
it's been a little quiet on my end.
You said you were like, dude, I've been so fucking busy. And I'm like, I get it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Not like I was like crying myself to sleep at night. Levi won't return my text messages.
No. And it's like, sometimes I just kind of shut down after a whole day of talking to people and I don't, like, my mom will text me and then I don't text back. And she does this thing where if I don't text back, she'll send the poop emoji and a pair of pants, like poop pants. It's just like, it's kind of like, hey, text me back, motherfucker. You know,
that's her way of saying that.
Yeah, it's her way of like, hey, you gonna text me back? But no, I just, and it happens with my people I work with too. Like, they'll text me, the people I deal with. And then I'm like, oh man, I totally, like, this dude called me like 3 hours ago. And I was like, oh, hey, sorry. That was right before we did this. I was like, hey, sorry, I forgot about that. And so whatever. I forget to talk to people all the time. I got, there's too many. It's a mental game.
We had a good run, man.
We had a good run.
We were texting pretty good, like almost every day for a while. No, I'm good.
We'll get back to it.
I'm good. Let's go back the way it was.
Whatever you want to do, man.
Friends. We're friends again.
Whatever you want to do. Yeah, we're buds. Hey, yeah. Mariah was upset. I was upset. You guys didn't come visit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get it.
But it's okay because we get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you don't have like 8 kids and you got to fucking pay for them to go to school and everything. Like, that's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's just 3 kids, but I, you know, you're like Heath Slater.
Right. And it's like the 20 feet of pipe.
It's like, exactly. 3 kids.
See how I tied all that together?
Yes. There we go. Problem solved.
Let's get into this episode so I can get out of here.
All right. I'm
in my quote unquote studio and I'm sweating my fucking balls off.
I know. I feel bad that went as long as it did.
It's fine. I wanted to know. I was genuinely concerned about your pipes. I really was, because this whole situation has been fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's been an annoyance, and I was so sick of living that way, and I'm so glad I don't. And that, you know, if they break again, I'm just gonna let it fucking seep into the earth.
Move
I'm
not out.
Yeah, dude, just leave it here. Pipes are great. Move on in. I want 400,000.
Hey, we got ghosts, but the pipes, killer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, at this point, the wife's next door reading a book. She's probably like, I can't listen to these stupid motherfuckers much longer. Yeah.
If you hear the tub, like the water running in the tub, she's going to fucking drown herself.
Yeah. She's gonna, she's just, and listen to dirt. Listen to down in a hole.
She's fucking done, dude.
All right. So today's feature is Patreon. You're getting it early, so you're listening. Right now.
Patreon.com/Heels and Quads. Do it.
Today's feature is yet another of our classic album Clash. And
real quick. Okay. Shout out to everybody who checked out the Andy LaRock interview.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome numbers on YouTube. Okay on the audio. But I've been really trying to get the YouTube thing going. So now I'm putting the shorts out. Those are doing really well. big numbers, huge. You'd never seen numbers like this.
huge.
And yeah, we're up like 9 subscribers on YouTube. So
that's pretty cool. Keep it. I'm pumping. Down with that, man.
Yeah, dude. I want that shit to go true to roof.
Well, maybe I'll get, you know, I know the YouTube thing. I didn't do that the last couple weeks, and maybe I'll record a bunch of shorts. Excuse me. Maybe I'll record a bunch of shorts.
I was gonna text you to send me that Ric Flair video that you did, if you still had it, because I looked for it on TikTok, and then I realized you deleted your account.
I deleted my account.
Find it, and I was like, "Fuck!" And then I forgot because I started doing something else, and I forgot to message you.
I wonder. I think it's 30 days you can reactivate your account, so I might be able to reactivate it.
Okay.
I don't think it's been a month yet.
I was trying to get that so I could put it on there.
At the time of the public listening to this, my TikTok account's gone.
It's gone. It's dead. It's deceased.
Because it's a month. It's 20 inches, 20 feet, all 20, that shit.
20 inches, 20, 20 inches. Feet. Well, if it's 20 feet, the vein is 20 inches.
Yeah, of course. It's a solid vein. I mean, there's multiple. If it's 20 feet, there's multiple veins.
Oh, yeah.
Big veins.
Yeah.
All right. Classic album Clash. Yes. Was my pick this week. Or a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
And at the time of listening to this, about a month and a half ago.
About 2 months.
about two months ago.
We pushed it up. We're out of back catalog stuff from the Patreon to put out.
Yeah, yeah. So
I have the Aerosmith one that's coming out. I'll probably put it out this weekend. And then
I'm back and sounds good. So
we're going to have to do some more content next week, I think. Maybe a live show next week.
Yeah, we'll do some content ski. All right, so my picks were Alice in Chains, Facelift versus Dirt. Facelift came out August 21st, 1990, and Dirt came out September 29th, 1992. So fairly close dates as far as in the year goes, but 2 years apart.
Pretty normal for that time. You'd record an album, release it.
Start of the year.
Come back, record, release, tour.
Oh, yeah. Which
I didn't know Dirt was Layne Staley's last tour. I found that out by reading Wikipedia.
Was it his last tour, really?
Yeah, they released.
They didn't tour for
Tripod or whatever, but the Dog album.
Oh, the.
But I guess they didn't.
Just self titled.
Yeah, I guess they didn't. Tour for that.
I did not know that, but that's their last album.
I mean, Wikipedia could be wrong. I mean, they don't always get it right.
There's a lot of no. I mean,
but I'm sure a fan probably typed that out, in all honesty, like a diehard.
It would make sense because I know he kind of went like he just kind of disappeared after like he was very. Yeah, the drug use was bad, and he like he said in an interview before he had died, like he said, "I'm not doing it to get high. I'm just doing it to stay alive." Like he was that bad off.
So sick.
Yeah, it sucked, man. Because Layne Staley, like, still one of my top five vocalists for me, and Alice in Chains, talented dude. Favorite bands. Yeah, I mean, he was great. He wrote Angry Chair, which we'll talk about. You know, very simple, but it's good. Yeah, he was. Yeah, it's a bummer, but Jerry Cantrell.
I make a note and I say, when I'm asking questions in my notes, I'm actually asking questions, because when it's your choices for these, like, I don't always, I mean, I know quite a bit. I knew all the band member names and everything, but I didn't know, like, and I knew obviously Layne Staley had bad drug problems, but I don't know, like what mindset or what period he was on the drugs, or if it was just the whole time. I don't know the entire backstory behind the band.
Yeah.
So you might know the answer to some of my questions is what I'm getting at in a your pipes in your yard kind of story.
Yeah. Well, I'll get through it in a way. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and a fun fact before we start, not really, it's not fun, but one of the people who got, it's kind of dark to talk about, but Al Jorgensen of Ministry, one of my favorite bands, Ministry, he was a heroin user. He was just a needle user, but mostly heroin with everything else mixed in for like 20 years. I read his autobiography and it's amazing, but he said Lane back in the day, I think it was early Alice in Chains, he saw Al shooting up and he was like, he's like, hey man, I want to try that, because I guess he was just smoking heroin at the time or snorting it, one of the two, and he was like, you don't need to try this, kid,
you don't want and anything he was like, nah, to do with I want this boy. To
yeah yeah he wanted to try it, and so Al was like, I hope I wasn't, you know, I think I might have been the dude who, like, I'm not taking credit for it, but I hope I'm not the guy who got him started on the needle, you know?
Yeah.
Because once you go there, you can't, it's just like, you're.
That's a tough one to recover from.
Yeah. Because there's no way you're never going to get that high off anything else. You're putting it right into your vein. It's going straight to your bloodstream.
That's
your insta high.
That one, I never understood it.
Yeah. I knew my boundaries, man. I knew if I did that, deal sealed, because it'd be
it's over.
And I think that's with anybody who has a preference.
I think you're too high maintenance to do heroin.
Yeah, dude, I can't. I'm too clean and I can't do that.
You have cardigan sweaters and shit.
Yeah, no heroin. Well, I can hide my needle marks that way.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, I just couldn't. And I'm not joking about any of that stuff.
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
I couldn't see you doing that.
No, it's too much work for me. It's too, and I would have to have like a fucking, I know how I am. I'd be like OCD about how I would shoot up.
And we've talked about it on here before, so I think it's kind of safe to say it. And again, if you, I can cut it if you don't. I think I did last time, but I don't remember. I didn't really know you when you were doing anything like that.
You did.
Well, you were on the back end of it.
Yeah, well, I had it hidden very well. It was just very, it was very casual, just kind of keeping me going.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. But yeah, kitchens especially.
There were times when I could tell you were on something, but I mean, it wasn't like you couldn't do your job. Yeah, you weren't like in a dark closet.
It's just wired to the fucking max.
Yeah.
A hot dark closet with a light, a hot dark closet with a light on. So it's technically not dark. Yeah. It's, you just kind of, I don't know. You just got to know your boundaries, but yeah, that's the problem. But anyway,
or just don't do it at all.
Or it really just don't do it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're gonna, yeah, this that's is probably all the best. Yeah. That's the best way to say it. But anyways. All right. So to start with the albums, we'll start with Facelift, which
that's
first album.
Yeah, I was going to say that's 90, right? I don't know why the whole time I was thinking it was 92 and 94.
I always thought Dirt was 90. I always thought Dirt was 93 and Facelift was 91. So I'm about a year off, but it's 90 and 92, yeah. And actually the Dirt, I have the CD, but the Dirt that I listened to was the 2022 remaster.
On Apple Music?
Spotify.
Okay, I listened to the 2022 on Apple.
Because they got rid of the original.
Hey, before we start on Facelift, I looked at the track listing on Wikipedia. Hang on. I scrolled down for some reason. And it had It Ain't Like That and then Love, Hate, Love. But on Apple Music, it was opposite. So I didn't know which way you had it.
Which way did I listen to it? Oh, that's on Facelift. It was Love, Hate, Love, and then It Ain't Like That.
Okay, so I have an asterisk, so I'll try to remember to flip it.
Okay. All right, so Facelift kicks off with We Die Young. Banner, wham, wham, wham. Chunky riffage and bass with a spooky ooh. Great opening track to kick off the album. Jerry lays it down with a little solo, probably on his Strat. Lane has the perfect voice. Not much to say here because I like this song a lot, but it's just a good heavy opener, a good pace. It's not... they're considered grunge, but there's moments where they're grunge and there's moments where they're just heavy alternative. And
I make a few notes
of that.
Yeah, based on that.
This one's kind of a good blend in a way. mostly like the guitar tone is almost like, to me, it's like a grunge guitar tone, because Jerry's guitar tone was very, it's like distorted but not overly, I don't even know how to describe it, but his guitar techniques are just like, he's just a blues guy, man.
Yeah, he's really good, and you can tell that. Yeah, make note of that too.
Jerry Cantrell is a kick-ass fucking guitarist, and yeah. I love his solo albums too.
Yeah.
And I still like Alice in Chains, even though Lane's gone. But
yeah, they were just over by you last week.
And I wanted to go so bad, and the tickets went up, and I didn't get them early. And I like to sit in a seat. You know, if I go see one of my favorite bands, I like to be in a seat, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, We Die Young, it's a killer track. It kind of makes you, just a lot of their lyrics and content was dark, and this kind of, you know, and we die young,
which in its own way is dark, but
it's not the darkest.
Yeah.
And then Them Bones on Dirt.
Damn Bones.
This song is actually in 7/4 time. Chromatic power chords with some flair and 7/4 time. Love the guitar work on all of their stuff, making Jerry one of my all-time favorites. You hear the signature vocal harmonies here along with most of their songs. Very catchy work and the chorus. No wonder it's such a hit. I fancy I'm gonna end up big old pile of bones. And you can kind of da 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 da. Yeah. I was all off on that, but it's 7/4. Just trust me. All right, your turn.
Okay, We Die Young. Great opening riff with the drums, and the great Lane Staley comes in almost right away. Dying Young seems to be a common theme with musicians, especially coming out of the 80s and into the 90s. Very short song. Mine is more like an overall, like, how the songs made me feel more so than the music for these albums.
It kind of tends to be how it is, though.
It's more of a feeling I get from it, because I don't know, it's just,
you catch a feeling off these albums.
I've never really deep dive on them, and it was a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Them Bones,
a little different.
Them Bones, right out of the gate, in your face. This is one of those songs that seemed to be everywhere in the 90s and into the 2000s even. Cool song, just one of those that you should know. Like, I feel like it was on movies, it was in video games, I feel like it was in wrestling at one point.
Them Bones was every, it was on it Guitar was, Hero.
Oh, it was on that, yeah, it was everywhere. So, I mean, songs like that, and the next one, it's like, it seems like these songs are everywhere, and everybody should know them. If you don't, then you're not either listening or watching this if you don't know the hits of this band.
Yeah, this one for me, like, We Die Young, I think it's just a fucking cool song overall. And the chorus is, it's just, all of their choruses have a good hooky catch to it, catchy hook to them.
Even poppy. Because
even I poppy, mean, they, yeah.
Because if it's not catchy, then it's not pop, and it's not poppy.
And it's not on the radio.
Yeah.
But I got to go with Them Bones here, just because it's Them Bones. And I feel I like so alone, We Die going to end up.
Honestly.
I do too, man.
That was
I
the first too. Thing I listened to at 8:30 this morning when I got to work, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, I could easily pick that song.
I mean, it's your call. I like both.
I gotta go Them Bones, although We Die Young is a very, very close second.
Okay.
And it's the only place it can be in a second in
right.
this one. But it is very
first,
like
last.
Like if somebody was like, you have to pick We Die Young, I'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's just as good. So all right. And then facelift, we have Man in the Box, the Alice in Chains song. Yeah. This song hits my soul every time I listen to it. The diminished chug that drives the song and beat, followed by the harmonized talk box lick and Lane's hums. You got the talk box lick and him are in sync doing that. The chorus sounds like Lane is giving it his all and feeling the lyrics. Jerry sings the follow-up line to each statement in the chorus. You know, Jesus Christ, deny your maker. He who tried, will be wasted. I'll feed my eyes. Now you saw them shut. All right. So, anyways. And then when he does that one that's like a little more drawn out towards the end.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck, it hits me so hard. I love those lyrics, dude. It gives me goosebumps every time.
Stick out.
It's fucking 20. It's 20 feet, dude. Jerry sings the fall blind at each statement. Of course, the solo rips a nice bluesy tone, as do most of them. The drums pound along just right. The bass plays subtle blues walks. Why walking that bass? They're in the pre-chorus.
Take it for thumps, a walk.
And it thumps along for the rest of the song. Absolute perfection. Yeah, the bluesy, like da 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 da, but the pre-chorus, the bass is going do 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 do, like straight blues. So that's Man in the Box, their best song ever of theirs. Damn That River. First of all, let me preface this by saying if this wasn't up against Man in the Box, I love Damn That River as well. Chromatic power chords again, giving that Alice in Chains feel. Bass continues. Here we go. Bass continues them. Oh, this bass continues great, them.
That was a great YouTube short, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good one. Bass continues them while the guitar leads through the verse. The bass is going do 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 do, and the guitar is going bang and This is an iconic Alice in Chains song that isn't really a hit. Bridge and solo are super fucking sweet. All of the notes align perfect. Killer track to jam.
Good.
That's that.
Okay. Hey, this one you don't have to listen to the song while I'm talking. So far.
Towards the end, I'll have to reminisce a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Man in the Box, classic.
Or some I don't know.
Jerry's crying guitar and Lane singing harmony or humming with it. Catchy song. No wonder everyone knows it. This is the Alice in Chains song. Simple yet effective drumming. I feel like the drumming on these albums both get overlooked.
Sean
like
Kinney.
I said, it's simple, but it's there and it keeps you going. Yep. Has an excellent groove. Some of these songs I compare later on to some other things. Lane had some pipes. Love the backing vocals from Jerry as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's so good. It blends together very well.
Yeah.
Damn That River. Great song. Love the structure of it. But after a song like Them Bones, I could see someone usually probably in this area skipping the track just to get to the hits. I like it, but I also like a lot of album tracks that most people just skip. Love the solo. Sounds like Slash and Ace Frehley had a baby, and his name is Jerry Cantrell.
That's a good, I like that. It is Slashy as well as Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's part of his inspiration. This one, I mean, Man in the Box is, Damn That River is a cool ass song.
It's a cool
dude,
song.
When you pit it up against.
There's a couple of them where you're like, fuck, like Them Bones.
Yeah.
Man in the Box is going to win. Later on, there's a couple more that it's like, they're obviously. They're gonna win because
the winners.
They're the ones that people know.
Yeah, well, and they're good. See, that's the thing. I'm good with picking against the ones
we've done
know.
It. We've done it in the past on this show.
But it's when Alice in Chains' best songs are also the ones people like. They're also very good. They're the songs people know, but they're also very fucking good songs.
Yeah.
So yeah, Man in the Box is the winner here. Damn That River, great song, but Man in the Box is just like every bit of that song can just.
I picked against King of the Nighttime World on Destroyer, which is one of my favorite songs of Kiss.
I'm the king of the nighttime world.
The other song, even though it was just an album track, was technically better.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sea of Sorrow. The guitar line at the start almost sounds like a piano. The song has many twists and turns. The opening chords progress to a faster feeling beat with guitar chords ringing out. You open fire, picks up the pace even more. leading to a full-on blues chord section. The chorus peaks with a great hook from the boys. Round two brings an awesome solo from Jerry. This is a lesser played gem, which I think back in the early 90s, it was always on their set list, obviously. But yeah, Sea of Sorrows is a cool fucking song.
This song might have my most notes of the whole thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
But go to the next one.
Rain When I Die. This one is the signature Allison Chain sound packaged all in one. Harmony vocals, some fat lick from Jerry, chunky bass, great drumming, catchy hooky chorus, all the components. Lane's voice hits just right, especially in the chorus. That man could belt out anything and everything and sound great. Lane and Jerry are so in sync vocally that it sounds double tracked by Lane. That's the great part too, is their vocal harmonies they do are awesome. And it's like, that's their signature thing. But Jerry and Lane, like Jerry could sing a song and it would sound like Lane and vice versa. Like even still to this day. So yeah,
that I think a lot of that came from their Kiss influence.
Probably, yeah.
I think that's where they got it from.
The Gene and Paul thing.
The switch offs.
Yeah.
Okay. Sea of Sorrow. Cool bluesy slide open.
Bam, bam, bam. One.
As my castle crumbles with time, I think of you. I love that line. And you said a line from this one too. So anytime there's a line that stands out to us, that's usually a giveaway. Music has more of an 80s vibe. I know it's 90, but it's got more of that 80s.
Yeah, it does.
With the vocals giving it, the music sounds more like an 80s vibe, but the vocals give it more of that early 90s grunge. This is what the 90s are going to sound like. Sounds like a song that could have been on GNR Use Your Illusion 1 or 2. Badass solo, of course, from Jerry. Is this another one of those albums where the bass is under everything so much it's inaudible? Because it's kind of just flowing with everything. You made mention in the last one.
Yeah.
Where am I at?
Rain When I Die.
This is the worst part about typing it out, because then I got to scroll for fucking 6 hours. Rain When I Die. A lot of wah-wah on that riff. A nice groove. So far, they are closer to Pantera on this album. That's where I... more of another band than the grungy sound on Facelift. But of course, it could just be to this point, because I haven't heard the album tracks on these albums. So
yeah, all right.
But the Rain When I Die, I got also not just Pantera, but I got a lot of the Kiss Carnival of Souls album that I had you listen to.
Yeah, it's definitely got that. Yeah,
I think Kiss may have ripped a little Alice in Chains.
That's what I was gonna say. They were kind of after. Well, yeah, because that was their like grunge album. Yeah, you know, their 90s album. Sorry, yeah. And not 90s well, no, music was. No,
they recorded it in 94. It didn't come out until 97.
Yeah, so it was right in the peak of that time.
The original lineup had already reunited by the time that album came out.
But you know, it's funny, grunge is so big, but dude, like by 94, 95, it was already pretty much dying. It's already
done.
Yeah, it was
it's
done.
Crazy.
Okay, I go Sea of Sorrow because that fucking when you wallow. And really, the sea really of like sorrow. That. Dude, it's so fucking good, man. And of course they're harmonizing. Yeah, Sea of Sorrow is a killer song, man. Okay, Bleed the Freak. Facelift. Picked chords haunt the intro. Sounds like Lane and Jerry sing it. An off-kilter jam plays for the verse. Chorus comes with that great layout of music and vocal harmony. Name your god and bleed the freak. I'd like to see how you all would bleed for me. That's what I wrote down. Just, you know, just those, not necessarily the lyrics, but the delivery of it. I fucking love it. Dark shit. Solo rips, as always. And then a little bridge to mellow out to. Chorus takes us out. Dark killer song.
And I think feel like if we have any like comments on the solo, we should just leave it out because it's obvious.
It's always like, yeah, yeah. Solo rips. Solo's Duh. Cool. Solo's good. Yeah.
Jerry is good.
Yeah.
I did read, because I just realized what you said in Sea of Sorrow, that it sounded like piano. I read on Wikipedia on that song that Sean Kenny plays piano.
I believe, you know.
So maybe it's just real light under
synchronized.
It.
Yeah. Bam, bam, bam.
And I forgot to mention it when you read. So
it could be because it sounds very piano, like, but just enough to make it sound like a piano. Up against Down in a Hole from Dirt. Very dark song, but musically about perfect. Beautiful chords plucked with subtle bass and just enough drums. He delivers the chorus so well, it makes you hurt. Song makes me feel like I'm in a hole myself. I tried to fly, but my wings have... Yeah, yeah. I tried to fly, but my wings have been so denied. Is sung perfect. Amazing song. This one is one I don't have to have a ton of notes on, but Down in a Hole, just another one where it's like, if I'm having a fucking rough day.
I think this is when I started texting you, is when I got to that song.
Probably, because it's very... Like what you were texting.
It might have been the one after. I don't know. We'll find out here in a second. Bleed the Freak. Opening almost sounds like Marilyn Manson's cover of Sweet Dreams. I love comparing songs to other songs. Even if it's just like the slightest, it'll pop in my head. And I'll be like, oh, wait, that sounds like.
It's your thing.
Yeah, it's kind of my shtick.
Shtick.
Then Jerry's guitar whines in the distance. I love that. And it starts to open up with a fresh feel when Lane comes in. Sean Kenny is a solid drummer, underrated. I like that word around here. Yeah. Obviously, listening to this band in the 90s, I was more about the guitar and vocals, but here I am very impressed with the drumming. And then there's a thunder effect somewhere in the song I noticed, and I had to make a note about it for some reason. Oh, why do people ask me stupid questions? Via text message.
I understand.
Fucking idiot.
Happens to me a lot.
Somebody just texted me and asked me if Aaron Judge is in the lineup, and he leads off, and he's in the batter's box right now.
Couldn't tell, I guess.
Yeah. is that Aaron Judge? Yeah, he's the only 6'7" guy on the roster. Down in the Hole. Intro has a little blues jazz Eagles feel, but then it kind of darkens up a lot of it.
Yeah.
Man, this band is influenced by everything, and they can play anything. It takes so much talent to be able to have an abundance of different styles. Very impressive. And then kind of grungy vocals, whereas usually it's the other way, like the music is kind of more grungy and the vocals are a little more clean. But here, because it's a darker song, the vocals are grungy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the Beatles or the Eagles thing threw me off.
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck is this? I said that a lot, actually. What the fuck is this? Every time a song started, I'm like, huh?
Oh,
it sounded like something else I knew, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The influences really shine with them. It's kind of a tough one because Bleed the Freak is a song I really like.
Well, and you wrote a lyric,
exactly. But Down in a Hole is also just a really cool song.
Did you write a lyric for Down in the Hole too?
I did, so it's like a tie.
Mm.
But Down in a Hole, the unplugged performance is killer. And
yeah. I want to watch that because I forgot how good that one was.
Yeah, and Lane's pretty up there when he's performing.
I remember watching it when I was a kid, and that guy doesn't seem to be too happy to be there.
It's a killer performance, though. It is good. And the guitar, fun fact there, on one of the, I think it's, is it Mike Starr or Mike Inez? One of them, it was Mike Starr.
For which one? Unplugged?
For Unplugged.
Yeah. It would have been Inez.
Inez, okay.
Because Mike Starr got fired on the Dirt tour.
Okay.
I just did all this research today.
I think it was him or Jerry, but they had Friends Don't Let Friends Get Friends haircuts on their guitar. and they were referencing Metallica because they had just cut their hair.
Oh, yeah. I remember that part. Yeah.
Friends don't let friends get friends' haircuts.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Dude, when Metallica cut their hair, that was a big fucking deal.
That was a really big deal, and people did not fucking like that. Yeah. But I like Load.
I like the albums, but
I like Load. Reload's cool, but it doesn't have as many. Like Load, I can listen to front to back. Yeah. I'm into that.
Load's a good.
I gotta go down in a hole here, just because it's just a Bleed the Freak again. It's kind of one of those where like it's hard to pit them against each other, but like Bleed the Freak's close second, but Down in the Hole wins.
I didn't like Bleed the Freak as much because I got kind of that Manson vibe.
Yeah. Okay.
And nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like his cover of Sweet Dreams, but
I
don't know. It just made me not like the song. I don't know. Maybe just because Marilyn Manson turned out to be such a piece of shit. Which I mean, I guess we should all saw that coming. Honestly, but
not a huge surprise.
I like both. I like both songs. Down in the Hole was just kind of a bummer, but having that Eagles feel. Which, I mean, I guess there's some Eagles songs that are a bummer.
I mean, Down in the Hole is a bummer, but that's what it's for me. Yeah. Like, when I'm in a bummed-out mood, that's the perfect song.
See, that's how I am, and a lot of people are the opposite. They feel like when they're bummed out, they need to listen to happy music.
No, I like embracing it.
If I'm fucking upset about something or just fucking depressed, I want to see how far down in that hole I can get.
You know take me deeper. Take me deeper. There? Yeah, I like that. Yeah. All right. I can't remember. One that I haven't listened to a lot, bluesy pentatonic riffage. I can't remember this song a whole lot, but I like it. So two statements, same thing. Very drudgy.
Yeah, that's what
seems written during a dark time or something. This has that grunge / alternative sound all over it with metal sprinkles. And then
that just made me think of your Cold Stone story.
Oh yeah, the sprinkles. Sick Man, total vibe change musically, kind of a weird song, up and down kind of, then halfway mark slows down and changes up a bit, then it goes back to the main Sick Man thing. It's an odd song, not my favorite, but I don't hate it. I guess I really wasn't feeling Sick Man.
I guess you really just didn't give a shit when you made your notes for it. You're just like, it's on, whatever.
Yeah, it's on. Okay, yeah. Let me reminisce on I Can't Remember, because again, I can't remember that song very much.
Do you want me to go ahead and talk?
Yeah, go ahead and talk, okay. and I'll ignore. I'm just kidding.
He remembers now. I can't remember. Some acoustic, different sound again. Also, finally, some bass I can hear. There's a riff in there that I really liked. It was just simple, but it was there, you know. I haven't eaten in days and my eyes are turning gray. I made a lyric note. Weird line, but gives it a dark vibe, which I think is what they were going for on this track and almost every other song they've ever done. Cool whispering background vocals.
I'm with you.
And then Sick Man. Songs are longer on this record. Assuming that had a lot to do with the success of Facelift. What the fuck? Seriously? Now they sound like White Zombie. What is this band? They are all over the fucking place. Those are my notes. Similar to your Sick Man notes.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Like, what's happening here? Okay. I think I'm going... I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because I can't remember. It's just got... I don't know, something more musical about it to me.
I remember more of that song than Sick Man.
Sick Man, I just remember Sick Man. Sick Man. I don't know. I've listened to Dirt a lot throughout my life, like since I was a kid. I remember first finding the CD and picking it up, and Sick Man, and there's another one on here that's just I'll get to.
I can see that one being one like you were walking down the highway and found it.
Yeah. Sick Man?
No, that or just that album. CD. Yeah. Because
it's Dirt.
Somebody was listening to it and they just listened to it so much they finally were like, I only like two songs on that record.
Yeah. Like I can't remember. All right. Yeah, I'm good with it. I can't remember. It's a little more musically showing off. Maybe I didn't look at Sick Man enough. I don't know, but I'm just, it's not my favorite. That's all.
It's our choice.
All right. Love, Hate, Love. I remember seeing a video on one of their old performances of Love, Hate, Love.
So maybe this was a definite live track.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the Dizzy. Maybe a breakup song. Again, with some chilling picked chords. Double tracked guitar here. Alice in Chains chord sticks with the picked chord. The dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Diminished chords rock the chorus. Chord, chord, chord. Chords and choruses. Jerry is such an awesome guitarist. Innovative at the time with his style. None really like it. This song kind of runs on a bit long, droning after a while. Hope they sorted out the lady issues.
Can we do something different just for this song?
Yeah.
I want to read mine.
Okay, read it.
Because it's almost like to the T what you just said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Slow brooding sound, maybe some teenage angst with a breakup. I wonder if this is an older song or written specifically for this record. Can Jerry Cantrell do anything wrong? Another really cool solo.
Damn, dude. Yeah, that is almost verbatim. Yeah, dude. That's almost verbatim.
That's what I was like, I have to do it. That's so weird.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
How bizarre? How bizarre?
How bizarre. And then we get to Rooster. Another Alice in Chains masterpiece about Jerry's father and the Vietnam War. Music sets the vibe and Lane sings perfectly over it. When the chorus hits, he cranks up a notch and he wails, "He ain't gonna die. No, no, no." And he wails, "He ain't gonna die," and such. This is another big one as well. One of my favorite tracks on the album and of their catalog. A banger of a song constructed very, very well. Yeah, Rooster's one of my favorites. For sure. It's just, and I know it's one of the big ones, but like I said, their big songs just so happen to also be very good songs. It's typically how it is.
Nothing wrong with that.
But they're the good ones, man. And Rooster is fucking, it's them showing off.
Okay. Right. My notes for Rooster, no thanks. Good song, don't get me wrong. I know I'm going to get hate for this. I've just heard this at every fucking bar.
Yeah, I got you.
Every fucking karaoke night that I've ever been to, I'm good. Again,
that ruined it.
Not a bad song. It's a great song. I just don't want to hear it ever again. Okay, so when I lived in Fayetteville, or if I came to Fayetteville to visit my sister and friends when they still live there, we would all go out to we'd go out to Dixon Street, and chances are somebody's gonna have karaoke night, and there's always some drunk fucking frat butt nut that gets up there and decides he's gonna sing fucking Rooster, and he would fucking ruin it, and I'm just like,
because you can't sing like Lane, man.
So, like I said, it's nothing against the song.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
it gives me bad memories.
I gotcha.
Of like people ruining, like, and I know karaoke, it's not supposed to be good. I take that shit very seriously.
A song. Just don't step up to the plate and try to sing it, because if you have any respect for the band, then dude, you can't sing it that way. Because
drunk or not, I know my range, and I'm gonna stay in that range.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna get out of my comfort zone because I'm not gonna embarrass myself.
Yeah,
I'm already drunk. I'm embarrassing myself by being drunk.
You're already embarrassed. You don't need to be any worse.
Yeah. What are you gonna go up there? Oh, I'm gonna sound like shit. I'm drunk, and now I've just pissed or shit myself. And you know what I mean? So and like I said, it's a really good song. Before I started being able to go out and do stuff like that, I liked this song a lot.
Of course.
But it got ruined.
Yeah.
Because people were assholes. Yeah. It's like Love Shack. I could never hear that song again for the rest of my life and be totally fine.
Love Shack.
And I like that song. It's fun.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So, well, inevitably, I have to pick Rooster.
You pick it. Yeah. I'm not. I would pick it too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I got
I was
you.
Giving
I
my you. Honest opinion on it. It has nothing to do with the song. It's just...
and again, Love, Hate, Love, it's not a bad song. It's just, you know, it goes on a little long and it's not my favorite. It's not a bad, I shouldn't say that. I like Love, Hate, Love, but it's just not, I have to be in the mood for that right. song.
Yeah, nothing so. Against Rooster. Shout out to Jerry Cantrell. Shout out to his dad. That's awesome.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's no, somebody always fuck. I get it. Totally get it. All right. It ain't like that. Picking a chord backwards for that cool sound. Jump wounch. Jump wounch. Picking a chord backwards for that cool sound, then a bend. That's new back then. That's new back then. Love the guitar tone always. Bass blends in very nicely here. Jerry with those chromatic notes in the verse again. One of those quick choruses, solos double tracked a bit. The bend is sweet. Vocal harmony per usual. Cool song musically. Didn't focus on the lyrics too much. And then Junkhead. A song about
what that
being,
song's about.
Yeah. A song about being a junkie slash addict. Basically saying I have a lot of money and what do you have? I'd like some. Musically, also a great song. One I used to love listening to a lot. This will make you want to use something. They all like to get high, but unfortunately, Lane couldn't kick it. The solo is really cool. Junkhead's a cool song, man. Oh, what have you got?
And apparently, like all the others, it has a cool solo, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, didn't I say that?
yeah,
the solo is really cool. Solo is really cool. All of Jerry's work is cool.
It ain't like that. Wow, 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 wow. This is my note. There was a sound that made that sound. Weird how everything on this album has the same vibe, but very different at the same time. It doesn't make sense, but it does. Kind of just chugging riff throughout until the solo gets laid down over it. Not a lot to note, just kind of a song you can have on and groove to it. Again, though, the backing vocals really blend and gives them a great sound. Yep. So you kind of noted that as well. But
yeah.
Yeah, I never realized how well they harmonized.
Always. It's like every song, man.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Junkhead. Now we're talking a little heavy, a little dark. Love the bass on this track. Just kind of putting out the vibes. Imagine this song is about drugs. Don't do drugs, kids. That's my notes.
Simple and effective.
Yeah.
This one's tough because I like It Ain't Like That. And that cool, like, you know, backwards picking with the bend that I mentioned a couple times. And then the solos, of course, are pretty cool. The bend. And then Junkhead, I also just really like that song.
It's a cool song.
It's a cool song. You know, he's just putting it out in the open. Hey, I don't go broke and I do it a lot. I don't know, man. This is a hard one to pick, honestly. It is, because they're both like, they're both kind of songs that are just there. They're not like standout. I mean, Junkhead's pretty standout for other reasons, yeah. But I don't know.
The imagery that it gives here. You.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think I need a little help picking here. Which one made you feel less dirty? It ain't like that.
It ain't like that, but I like that on Junkhead. I said, now we're talking, and it's a little heavy, a little dark. That I said, love the bass. Like when I say stuff like that, it makes me think I like the song.
Your mic was tripping. It was like,
sorry.
Okay.
It's probably because I was playing with it.
Yeah. I heard what you said though.
Yeah. I think Junkhead.
Okay. Well, let's go with Junkhead. I'm good with it. I remember blasting that song and I was like, I like this song.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Sunshine. Blues rocking.
Before you start, Tommy saw the short of you talking. We were talking about Steve-O and when you did his Manscaped ad.
Yeah.
He was like, it's so funny the way he says balls.
The way I say balls?
Yeah, doing it like Steve-O. Yeah. He was like,
balls, dude.
It's your balls.
Your balls. Anyway,
he talked about it for like 20 minutes.
I'm glad I got a pop out of it.
Yeah.
Sunshine. Blues rockin'. Grunge blues, as they say, because they say that.
Lane, that's what the kids are saying these days.
Yeah. Lane spouts off the verse nicely over that verse lick. It fits well. That mid-song chorus is sweet. The lyrical spot after is a nice shine for Lane as well. This could have been a hit, I think. Very hooky chorus and the guitar licks through the song. And
then, agreed, it could have been a hit for shout.
Yeah. And then Dirt. Title track, sweet guitar lick. Pentatonic squealing. He wants to be dirty or something. Scrape me from the wall. It's a jam Ooh. Of a track and makes me feel dirt, in parentheses, why. Dirty. Makes me feel dirty, but. Oh, I just stopped. Makes me feel dirty, but. That's the end of my notes on that one. all right. Okay, go ahead. Carry on.
Like nothing ever happened.
It's like dirt.
Sunshine. I couldn't tell if I was starting an episode of Friends or maybe listening to Billy Joel's You May Be Right. Intro had a weird blend of those two songs. Love the bass in this one. Passing by you wouldn't notice, but deep dive listening, it's a welcome change. Dirt. A song about death. Jesus Christ. I feel like I should be in a dark closet listening to this. This is when I texted you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's a good song, but at 35, it makes me sad. Plus, with Lane no longer with us, it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
That song just really bummed me out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty... It's a,
I was
it's
at work, bummer. And I was trying to like have a good day, and it was just like, oh, man.
Wow, now, now. Wow, now, now. Wow, now, now. Wow, wow, now.
Yeah, it's good, but it's shouldn't just sad. Be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those dark songs. It's, I mean, dirt for a reason. This one kind of comes down to, like, their identity. Do I go dirt because that's their identity and that's who Alice in Chains is? It's like that is the that's the jam, that's them, dirt. Or it's Sunshine, which is this kind of like late album track that's bluesy, and I mean all the songs are bluesy, but this one's like, I mean, like you said, Billy Joel and Friends, you know.
Sounds
it's got
like
a different
the Friends theme and You May Be Right blended.
It's got I mean, I like the guitar work on it though.
Or
told you life was gonna be this way.
If you don't clap, it doesn't count.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, even your year.
Oh, we both sang the harmony.
Yeah. Yep.
We have wives. We know what we have to do.
Yeah.
Because they always sing the flat lead.
Yeah. I just don't know which one to pick. I mean, I think I gotta pick dirt. I mean, I don't know, man. What do you think? What do you think?
I think you have to pick dirt. It's the band's identity.
It's the band's identity. Sunshine is, you know, but then again, this is their first. Sunshine's off their first album. They didn't know who they were yet.
Yeah, that's why, like I said, on the first track or second track, I don't remember what it was. I think it was first. Yeah, it was first because Man in the Box is second. It's got that 80s sound, but like vocally, Lane is kind of the voice of the 90s.
Yeah,
his style is the voice of the 90s.
Yeah, I'll go dirt. All right. Okay. Put You Down. Classic rock and blues again. This one has a poppy radio feel to it, especially that chorus. I say this could have been a hit, actually. Scratch that last one. upbeat in places. He just can't put you down. The put you down, 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 down part fits well with the guitar. It fits very well with the guitar lick. Intentionally or unintentional, it works well. And then Godsmack. This is the one I spoke about earlier. This is a really weird one. The uncomfortable chords mixed with Lane's vocal style here is bizarre. Chorus gets kind of normal, but then gets back to the odd verses. Bridge is the culmination of all the weirdness, and then a solo. Is that I just Godsmack? This has always been one I don't like. It's just a weird fucking song, dude. And that's my notes.
Put you down. Another different sound, kind of closer to another Guns N' Roses type song. It's not far to just label it. It's not fair, is what I meant to put. Must have been in a hurry when I was typing that out. Somebody must have walked in the door. It's not fair to just label it as that. Early 90s were just weird. Coming out of the hair bands, then you get bands like Alice in Chains, Guns N' Roses, and Skid Row, who sometimes get lumped in with the hair bands, but they all had a different sound. It's not like Puppies, Candy Canes, and Partying. It's real life situations.
Yeah.
I don't like that Skid Row gets lumped in with the hair bands, even though I love hair bands, and that's, you know, it's just, I don't think Skid Row is a hair band. They just had hair.
What do you think Skid Row is?
I think they're closer to Alice in Chains type.
Yeah. Okay.
It's real life shit. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not. I mean? Not, yeah, all their songs. Like, because, I mean, people mainly know I Remember You and 18 in Life. Which 18 in Life is, I can see that being an Alice in Chains song.
Yeah.
And then song, you know, Youth Gone Wild and fucking.
That's such a cool song.
It's such a great song. And Slave to the Grind, dude, that was not a fucking hair band song.
No, you're right. That's very true. They're not a hair band. They just happen to have hair.
And GNR was not either at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, I was almost named after Sebastian Bach.
Really?
Yeah. I was almost named fucking Sebastian, dude.
Shout out to Mama Zindel. I probably would have liked you more
with that. I wouldn't have liked myself if my name was Sebastian.
I think he would have said
Seabass.
I think you would have said Mother Trucker a lot, like he does.
Yeah.
What's up, Mother Truckers?
What's up, Mother Trucker?
Do you think you would have liked Model Trains?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'd be sending weed across the Canadian border.
That's such a great episode.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Godsmack. Not to be confused with a shitty band that came out a couple years later. This is a big pep up after the last two songs. What's up with Lane's voice, though? He sounds like he's in the Lollipop Guild.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
He's in fucking Munchkin Land.
Yeah.
It was weird. The song's cool, but that part is just fucking odd.
This is a song that I can't even remember what the music sounds like because I just can't get that out of my head. I don't like it. I never have. I've always thought it was just like cringy. Like if I was gonna give somebody the album, I'd be like, yeah, just skip track 9 because it gets weird.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so we're giving it to the Guns N' Roses song.
I know Godsmack is them, and that's contrary to what I said on the last one, but yeah, I think I have to give it to the Guns N' Roses song.
Yeah, but he didn't seem like he was on the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, and it's just kind of Jerry doing guitar shit that's really cool and the rest of the band, you know, so Put You Down's good. And Lane makes it, you know, they make it their own, so.
Yeah.
Put You Down wins for me there, just because I can't, that's just weird. That Godsmack thing's weird. This next one, I guess, is win by proxy because track 10 against track 10 here. Confusion is an actual song, and Untitled is like just a bunch of weird noises.
Hang on, though, because Facelift only has 12.
Yeah.
And Dirt has 13.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
So we can take it out.
Yeah, we can do Confusion versus Hate to Feel.
Do you want mine for Untitled / Intro / Dream Sequence, though? My note?
Is that the note?
Do you want my note for it, though?
Yeah, sure.
It's okay.
Okay, cool. Mine just says, speaking of weird, dot, 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 dot,
yeah, dot. It was strange, dude.
Yeah. Speaking of speaking of doing drugs.
So it's confusion versus hate to feel.
Yes.
Yes.
And I got to make sure not to get confused with the rest of this.
You don't want to be involved in any confusion.
Untitled is just a weird one. Okay, confusion. Slowed it down a bit. Love, sex, pain, confusion, suffering. Love, sex, pain, confusion, suffering. This one hits the mark for the grunge genre for sure. Slower paced, misery, catchy chorus, hummy, lyrical content. Lane could do all that hummy stuff, though, because it was his thing, and it fit. Okay, and the solo is good, how it follows the notes. Yeah, of course I had to mention that. Solo's always good. It's Jerry.
Jerry.
Hate to feel. Grunge weird again. Love the verse around. Grunge weird again. Love the verse around the 1 minute mark. It's that stop start style with the guitar breaks while the drums play. This has some Sabbath feels to it with the first part of the verse. Second part of the verse I dig. Chorus is cool too. I like the double vocal part at the second chorus as well. Solo with bass and light drums with the pickup is sweet too. Solo's always sweet. Yeah.
Confusion. This gives the feeling of an apology letter put to music. Lane is sorry for what he's done, but he just wants to set you free. But it's all his fault as he recognizes his disease. Love how that kind of just flows together. Verses are very somber and a lot of energy and passion in the chorus. And then get ready to shit a brick. Hate to feel. An ode to Black Sabbath, maybe?
Weird, yeah.
This one has a cool sound, though. A predecessor to Limp Bizkit. Were they a major influence on Korn and Mudvayne? Any questions I'm asking are actual questions. Jerry with a cool Hendrix-style solo. Fucking killer.
Always.
That was super weird. As soon as you said Sabbath, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, because it had that like doomy guitar line that was played. I like Hate to Feel. I think it's a cool song. I think it's a really cool song. And the core, like I said, it's one of those that's got that, again, that's always the catchy, hooky kind of chorus that they can do. And when they're doing their harmony, it just, they can make everything catchy and hooky.
But what I was saying about the Limp Bizkit, Korn, Mudvayne thing, were they like, they were like, the song just sounds like a predecessor to like rap metal.
Because of the way he delivers.
The way he's delivering, yeah.
Yeah. I'm rehearing that one again just to see if I can spot it. Yeah, I mean, where is it at? It's like just the verses, isn't it?
I want to say it's at least like 2 minutes in when I noticed it.
Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. Yeah, I mean, that's that kind of pre-chorus sound. But
yeah, it's just that delivery.
Yeah, but no, yes, I'm sure it was. And like Rage Against the Machine, that's one that's huge for Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
I don't think there would be Limp Bizkit without Rage Against the Machine.
There was something that I almost typed a Rage reference in, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. All right. Know something about you. 80s porn intro. Classic rock riff drives the verse. Chorus, as usual, is quite catchy. And back to the porn riff. This is definitely one of those album closers or late tracks. Post-chorus number two is a different song, though. It gets heavy for a bit with some scratchy stuff going on. Verse, then another chorus. I just like, sometimes when I don't know what to write, I just like let you know how the song went. Yeah, I guess
give us the structure of the song.
The ABC, AB, ABC. Yeah. Angry Chair. Lane wrote this song and riff. Easy riff, but it's fitting for Angry Chair. This is one of those popular but less played songs from their catalog, and I mean that like radio wise.
Right.
Chorus is almost happy sounding versus the rest of the song. The music under the solo is nice with the sustained version of the da 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 da. Wow. The chorus is, or the solo is playing, and it's da na 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 da 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 na na. But it's more like sustained. That's what I meant. I had to explain it that way. That's my notes.
Cool.
on those.
I know something about you.
Boom, boom, bam, boom, bam, bam.
As soon as I read the title, I was like,
"You're like, uh-oh, that's that Kiss."
Holy shit! Thought Apple Music turned on "Cool and the Gang" or "Chic" in the intro, but before Lane goes, "Yuck,
yeah."
Ooh, he said fuck, and he's gonna tell your mama. Very different song for Alice in Chains, but I also go back to that GNR style of sound. What does he know that he's gonna tell your mama?
Good question. Good
cue.
But
that's that funky porn vibe that you got.
Yeah.
I call it the gang and Chic.
Yeah, it's that like porn sound going on.
Late 70s, early 80s funk dance music. Angry chair. Why the fuck is he so depressed and why is the chair angry? I went from vibing to just being sad. This band is so talented, but the lyrics can fuck you up emotionally. That's my note. I just, at that point, I was like, okay, I thought we were picking it back up, and then it came back down. I was like, oh, man, come on.
Yeah. Oh, you did Angry Chair. Okay. Well, man, I know it brings you down, but I think, unfortunately, Angry Chair is my winner here, too.
That's fine.
Because I know something about you. I mean, it's okay to object, you know. Well, you know that, yeah. But if you object... It's just that I know something about you again. It's like, it's one of those that it's just not, I don't know. It's just kind of there. It's like the ending, like the end of Dirt kicks ass. The end of Facelift is kind of where it was like, okay, let's put these extra tracks in here that we made. And it's not like they're bad. None of them are bad songs. They're just like, they were finding themselves on the first album.
I feel like Facelift has... It's kind of their influenced by record.
Even though
Dirt has a couple, because I made mention of there's the Eagles one and Sabbath, but not near as many as Facelift.
Yeah, Facelift
Whereas
is like
here, they've found themselves. They've been on a big tour. They're popular. They did well with their first record. They know this one's going to be a hit. Most likely, I'm sure they knew in the studio it was going to be good.
They know something about you.
They know something about you. And to put a 43-second untitled song that, for whatever reason, Wikipedia decided to call it intro/dream sequence.
Oh, is that what Wikipedia called it?
Yeah.
I thought that was your note on it.
No.
Oh.
And apparently Tom Araya helped write it.
The untitled?
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Or helped played something
on
it,
noise.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But I saw it and I was like, why? That doesn't make sense. But okay.
Yeah, I don't dislike my wife is walking. I don't dislike the later songs on Facelift. And Jerry Cantrell, if you're ever listening, you are my hero on guitar.
You're great.
But I just, and Alice in Chains is one of my favorite bands. But, you know, these songs, like, they're not bad. They're just, there's a time and place for them. And it's not, like, up against Dirt, it's hard to come. Like, if this was Dirt against the self-titled, then it'd probably be a different story. Because it'd be like, okay, it's grunge and grunge. Or Alice in Chains.
The first guitar Guitar World magazine I ever bought, Jerry Cantrell was on the cover.
Yeah, nice. With long blonde hair.
His long blonde hair. He just looked cool.
He's such a sexy boy. He's the original sexy boy.
Like, I mean, he's got the looks.
He's got it drives the girls wild.
Yeah.
He's got the moves that really move them, too.
You think he sends chills up and down their spine?
Oh, yeah. Up and down their spine. He's just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
But vocal harmony, sexy boy, sexy boy.
Now I remember what I was going to ask you after we did the Friends thing. If you guys are listening to Africa by Toto, who does the high harmony? Does Mariah even sing? I mean, does she sing in the car?
She doesn't have any fun. I mean, she just...
That makes sense.
I'm just kidding.
Fucking funny, daddy.
I mean, she'll... It's probably usually me doing the high anytime we harmonize. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but she'll sing the high too, so it's kind of hard to pit it.
I got mad one time. We were on our way somewhere, and Africa came on, and she started singing that. I'm like, "Can you just let me do it?" She goes, "Why can't I sing that part too?" And I'm like, "Cause that's my part."
Yeah, look, like, I'm the high guy.
Here, I was like, so. "You just sing the main verse."
Yeah,
sing that main line, and I'm gonna go up above you. She's like, "God, you're so fucking picky about shit." I can't help it.
I had a text message. IRB. So I got caught up doing a podcast when we're done. If you want, I'm almost finished. Okay.
Oh, I think she's mad.
No, it's not her, it's my neighbor. Oh. She wanted to have a dog play date because it wears her dog out.
Oh, God.
All right.
Thing.
Real thing. Not to be confused with Faith No More is the real thing.
Yeah.
Because you could confuse that. This one has a Danzig feel to it.
It does.
The riff at first, and then the... Oh, here we go.
Faith No More kind of has a little bit of a... They could hang with Alice in Chains.
The riff at first, and then the later part of the verse or something. I don't know.
I don't know. This is a clip.
Yeah. this one has a Danzig feel. The riff at first, and then the part of the verse. Sick riff and lyrics singing with it too.
Poison the Well.
Throughout the album, I just love Lane's delivery on all of the lyrics. Aggressive and laxed where necessary. Going down them steps to nowhere. Follow him down. Sexual chocolate, baby! Love that part. But this song. It's like this song.
This song.
The tom beat. Eerie guitar riff sung by Jerry on the verses with Lane joining in at the last part of each line. Chorus has that Alice in Chains aggression in Lane's voice that hits you just right. His voice is still something that gives me goosebumps when I listen. Bridge lets it shine again with some heavy riffage. If I would, could you? If I would, could you? Or if I would you? Anyways, yeah, Wood is like one of those. It's a hit, but it's also a very good song.
It's one of those. Real thing. Another cool bluesy song. Metal George Thorogood. Really cool sound. Love the groove on the verses. Sexual chocolate, baby.
Yeah.
I almost had snot come out of my nose when I heard that.
Maybe that's where Mark Henry heard it from.
It's sexual chocolate. Whoa. And I want to give it all to you.
I want to give it all to you. All right.
Wood. Maybe their most popular song. Maybe you can give it to Man in the Box, Rooster, or Them Bones. But I think in most music circles, this one wins. Not a lot to say about this one. Well constructed, not as depressing, and find more background vocals than I've noticed on the last half of this record. A smooth solo from Jerry.
Smoothie.
Those are my notes.
Yeah, the Danzig song is really cool. I actually really like that song.
Yeah, but it ends with sexual.
That's pretty big. I mean, that's big points. Badass. But Wood is like, it's the song, you know. Dirt has so many of those songs, and Facelift also does, but it's like the hit, and then the rest of them are like the other, like the ones that were almost hits.
Yeah, it's so, got Man in the Box, and then it's like, this could have been a hit.
Yeah, Bleed the Freak, Sea of Sorrow, Love, Hate, Love, early on it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, you know, and many others.
Dirt has three of their biggest songs.
The big ones, yeah. So I think, I'm pretty sure Dirt won. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that's, versus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So dirt wins.
That's a runaway.
But yeah, wood. I mean, that's another. Yeah, I can go on about it.
Forever, and I mean, there was a few. I mean, we talked. I mean, yeah, I feel like that was a little more even than 8-4 because there was a few where you're like, I like this one, but
yeah, we can almost say like it's 8-4 technically. But it's really like 8-6 or 7.
Yeah, and at that point you're just like, just put it together, make it a double album.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one record.
It's Load and Reload.
Yeah.
Except like I said earlier, I like Load better, so never mind.
No, it's not like that. It's nothing like that. It's like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. They're both.
Yes, good. There we go. Exactly, because I like both of those pretty equally.
Yeah.
I
kind of want to do both those. I want to do something chipper.
Oh, that'd be cool. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Pretty cool.
How far off are the tracks? I think 1 has way more.
Let's take a gander.
I feel like Use Your Illusion 1 has like 17 tracks.
Yeah, let's take a gander.
I mean, it's not super long. It's not a super long record other than November Rain.
November side, holy shit.
And it's hard to hold a candle.
16 tracks on number 1. And number 2 is
like 14.
14. Yeah, they're both 70. They're both about 70 to 75 minutes.
That's long.
That is pretty long.
I had a backup choice.
Do side 1 versus side 2 of Use Your Illusion 1.
What was my other?
What is your backup choice? While you're finding your backup,
we
need to take it home. So let me tell you where you can go to pick up some of our merch. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/heelsandquads. If you want to pick up some of our merch, you can use coupon code heelsandquads in all caps at checkout to save 10% off your order at collarandelbowbrand.com. Use that coupon code. And then, of course, you're already listening on Patreon. You're listening early. If you went to patreon.com/heelsandquads
or watching
to become one of our awesome members that we have. We love everybody over there. But if you haven't and you want our content early and you want extra content and you want the monthly hangout, which at the time of recording this is tomorrow, you can go to patreon.com/heelsandquads and sign up. It's $5 a month. Not a big deal at all. You can spare $5 if you really want to be friends with us.
It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
It's not like a fraternity. You're not paying to have friends. You're just paying to hang out with us.
Hey, think of it this way.
It's because we're really famous.
Your wife or your girlfriend is going to Starbucks right now every day and getting her pumpkin spice latte.
Which is $10 to $12.
Yeah. So you can come spend $5 and hang with us.
And tell her to hit the fucking road, Jack.
Yeah.
Or Jill.
Or Jack and road, Jill.
Jack and Jill. Hit the fucking road, the Jack and Jill.
Comedy hit from Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a piece of shit. So my backup, because GNR was my initial choice, but I knew it was going to be off by a lot. So I'm choosing Out of the Cellar versus Invasion of Your Privacy, Little Rat and Roll. With 2 T's.
I like some Rat.
Love Rat.
And I also don't know much of their songs.
A lot of their songs sound alike, but they're fucking good.
This will be interesting. Is Round and Round on either of those?
It is. It is on Out of the Cellar.
Okay, I love Round and Round. I'll be straight with you. That's the only Rat song I know.
You know more than that.
I probably do. I just don't know it. Yes.
And you're back for more.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
How about You're in Love? You're in Love. It's very simple stuff.
I don't think I know that one.
It's a good one.
I like Richie Blackmore. I love David Gilmour. So I like Rat. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Just kidding. Like it. Yeah, I will. No, I will like it because I know I like Rat's style.
Lay it down.
So Rat, Out of the Cellar, and what?
Invasion of Your Privacy.
Toys in the Attic. Okay. Out of the Cellar and Invasion of Your Privacy.
Out of the Cellar versus Toys in the Attic.
Out of the Cellar versus, toys staying in the attic. All right. Well, that does it for this episode.
Toys out of my fucking house.
Yeah, take them home. We need to take it home.
Yes.
We've been here too long.
Yeah. All right.
We got too excited.
We love yous.
We love yous. Tell your friends.
Tell your enemies. We'll talk to you next fucking time.
We'll see you next time.
Hang out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Bye.